Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, August 28th, 2018, episode 14.02, the NFL Prediction Show. The show you all love because it means it's getting you ready for the NFL season. This week, Steve and I are going to jump into our time machine and take you through the entire 2018 NFL season, making our predictions all the way to Super Bowl 53. Will the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles get a chance to repeat, or will the evil empire reclaim their throne? Stay tuned and find out, but now let's chomp it in! Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves. All righty, welcome back wherever you are in this great world of ours, folks. Thank you for listening. I'm Steven Miranda.
And I'm Steve Fry.
And if there's a little delay between Steve and I today, Steve's in Park City, Utah? Is that right?
I'm working very hard in Park City.
Working hard in the jacuzzi that's as big as a house?
Exactly, yes. Yes, so doing some site visits, checking out some locations to host an event here in a couple of weeks. So having fun. We've been hosted very nicely by a lot of folks here in Park City, and I'm looking forward to coming back in a couple of weeks.
Well, that's awesome. So you're there for like the whole 2 weeks?
No, I come back to L.A. tomorrow.
Oh, you're coming back home, but then you're going back and back out there in 2 weeks to host your event.
We're checking out some of the restaurants and bars that we're going to host some dinners and events at. So,
all right, well,
again, really, really rough work.
We've got a big show. We got to get through a lot of stuff. We've made our picks. That's right, folks. Steve and I have gone through all 256 games in the NFL regular season, have made our picks. We're going to tell you who wins each division, why. We got some very similar picks, except for a couple divisions where we're all over the
couple
place.
Couple of teams, yep.
And we're going to find out if, you know, Steve decided to take his pack all the way.
Of course. I mean, we're just going to get that out of the way now. Who else is going to win the Super Bowl? Because the Packers were going to win every Super Bowl I've ever
seen. Every Super Bowl. Well, I have predicted that the Cowboys, ever since I've been doing the show and doing prediction shows, I've predicted the Cowboys would at least be a participant in the Super Bowl. Who am I kidding? I've said they were going to win the Super Bowl. I may have changed this year. So you're just going to have to stick around and listen to see if I made that change. But right now,
wait, you're going to hold them in suspense, but I have to.
You're straight out there telling them the truth, and I'm saying
I do. Yeah,
I'm going to hold the truth until I actually reveal who's going to win the Super Bowl.
Wait another 55 minutes, you'll find out.
That's right. But before we get to that, there are a couple of pieces of news that I have to talk about, and the first thing I want to talk about is money. Money, 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 money. OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr. agrees to terms with the New York Giants on a 5-year, $95 million extension. That's right. You heard me right, Steve. $95 million.
That's a lot of lettuce.
That is a whole heck of a lot of cabbage. And here's what we say on the show, Steve, so that you can start getting to it. What we care about is guaranteed money, and what we call it here is Gura. Okay, you know what the Gura is
Gura.
Here?
Oh, yep.
It's
a lot.
$1 million. That is a whole heck of a lot of Gura. I think the man's set for a long time.
So the stories have been that he's been very, very nice in camp this year. He's been a mentor to the young players. Do you think it lasts past that check clearing the bank?
I don't know, but I mean, here's the thing. OBJ went from people talking about the New York Giants cutting him or trading him to signing an epic deal. I'm talking about as a non-quarterback. I think the only quarterback, frankly, that has a better contract as far as guaranteed dollars is Eli Manning. Eli Manning is getting had.
Well, there's a pattern here, though.
It was $67 million contract. It was a better year, but I mean, that is a whole lot of cheddar for a guy with all of his antics and all of the proposing to the sideline net. And it, look, as I'm not going to deny the man's talent. He is fantastic on the football field. And he is known for that one catch, that one circus acrobatic one-handed catch that, you know, it put him on the map, quite frankly. Is he worth that much money to a franchise that, one, has an older quarterback that is on the, you know, end of his career? And now they got Saquon Barkley and they got him on a nice rookie deal right now, but in a couple years he's going to be looking for money if he balls out. So where are the Giants going to get more money to play other players? That's my question to you.
I have no idea. I mean, what's the next closest wide receiver contract out there?
So Sammy Watkins, I did some research. Sammy Watkins this year got a pretty lucrative deal to go to the Kansas City Chiefs. His guaranteed was $60 million. That's a lot of money as well for a guy that I'm not sure, yeah, quite frankly, is worth that much money. I mean, if you're talking to me and you're saying you're going to give $65 million to OBJ or $60 million to Sammy Watkins, I'm going to go with the first one and say I'm going to pay $65 million to OBJ.
Right. Yeah, there's more track there.
I just think the New York Giants, they have a lot of holes to fill. Saquon Barkley is nice. I have seen him, this kid, in the preseason. And one thing that I do know for sure is that this kid is going to ball out. I am slating him in to rush for about 1,200 to 1,300 yards this season as a rookie. He's got that kind of talent, and he's displayed that on the field so far. Outside of that, you know, I think the Giants' defense is suspect, and, you know, we'll talk about that when we do our picks. But so far, I think this is great for OBJ, not so great for the New York Giants. And I tweeted out, I said, good luck, Giants fans, because this is what you paid for. Now let's see if he continues to be that good leader, that good mentor, or if he's going to change his stripes and all of a sudden go back to the antics that we know him for.
Know and love.
All right, in other news, Tom Brady, you know, the quarterback of the evil empire. I love that Star Wars empire. Steve, I'm going to be nice to the Patriots fan for a little bit, okay, fans? It's the New England Patriots. I'm not going to call them evil empire for at least 10 minutes till we get to the AFC East, and then we start talking about, you know, the New England Patriots. But for now, they're in the New England Patriots, and quarterback Tom Brady goes on an interview with a weekly radio station. This is a gig where, you know, he comes on every week. They know that he's going to be on every week, and they talk football. Well, this week, they decided to ask him about a pal of his, and Tom Brady took offense, Steve. Okay, offense is
not the first time. Yeah, but
offense is pretty hard. But he hung up on the dudes, and I want to play a part of that interview for you right now, so that everybody can hear kind of what it went. I'm not making up. He hung up the phone. You'll hear it. Check it out.
He had said in his opinion that all this stuff had been overblown. That he and Belichick actually had a pretty good relationship even then. Would you say that was true?
I said I don't want to get into it.
Okay, go ahead, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows. It's well documented how, you know, the work that he and I do together.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out because I saw the reports this weekend that he's traveling with the team. Was he on the sideline on Friday?
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
So here's the thing. The guys ask him about the question. He's like, yeah, you know, I don't want to talk about that. And I'll give Tom Brady that right off the bat. He tells him, I don't want to talk about that. But the guy presents.
We've seen it in the past.
But you have to, if you're a good interviewer, you got to keep going back. You're trying to get something out of him. He continues with the questioning. And then, look, Tom Brady says, look, it's well documented. My relationship with this guy, you know, we've got, you know, it's well documented. I work with him. We've got a partnership. And so then the guy asks a third question and says, well, was he on the sidelines at practice? And then Tom Brady then says, okay, bye. And he just hangs up. Click.
Yeah, but they tried to transition off the topic, and Brady brings him back in.
Yeah. So,
like, he was almost clear of that, but yeah, it.
I just look at some point, and I'm gonna go back to the Super Bowls. I've covered six Super Bowls for Sky Sports News. Two of them involved the New England Patriots, and both times, those were my least favorite Super Bowls. It includes the one in Arizona where they beat Seattle, where they actually won. The one where they lost to the New York Giants was downright awful. I mean, it was just bad. But then the one, even when they won the game in the last second, you know, Pete Carroll throws the ball instead of handing it off to Marshawn Lynch, and they lose in the final, Seattle loses in the final moments, and they win the football game. They were never a whole lot of fun to interview. And all the other teams that I've interviewed during playoffs and Super Bowls, fun, excited, happy to be there. And the Patriots just never seemed like they really cared that they were there and that they had won the football game. So to Tom Brady's like, dude, you've been doing this for how many years now? You've been the quarterback for how many years? I mean, the dude is, what, 40-something?
And how many questions over girlfriends and dating life
exactly.
And off the field and football stuff has he been asked over the years?
And so this wasn't too terrible of a question. I get it. Maybe the guy should have backed off after the second question. But he said, but look, yeah, I understand all that. I understand it's well documented. I understand. But he was on the sideline this week. And that's when Tom Brady was like, all right, I'm done. I'm out. And Tom Brady's good at saying, I'm out. So I thought it was interesting that he's out again. But finally, I want to make fun of a team that, you know, a lot of people say, well, Stephen, you make fun of everybody, but you never make fun of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to make fun of the Dallas Cowboys right now. Jerry Jones is in the news again.
Oh, my dear friend, Jerry Jones, yes.
Your dear friend. And my dear, seriously, I kid you not, I love the man to death. He is great, and it's well documented on the show what I think about him being an owner. But this was what Jerry Jones said about how badly he wants the Dallas Cowboys to win another Super Bowl. He went on record and said that he would write an embarrassing large check. As a matter of fact, he said, it would be embarrassing, it would be shocking if you knew the size of the check I would write if it guaranteed me a Super Bowl. Now, he was on the radio with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He says, it would be obscene. There is nothing I would do financially not to get a Super Bowl. And so I ask you, Steve, how big, as an owner of the Green Bay Packers, how big a check would you write to get the Green Bay Packers another Super Bowl win?
I was about to make a point that it's all a relative thing. A huge check for me, an embarrassing large check for me, isn't that big to Jerry.
It's like, so for you, what?
It's a weekend dinner for him.
Yeah, so for you, it's probably a weekend dinner. You'd write a check for about $500?
Yeah, that's about what I do for guaranteeing a Packers Super Bowl win.
You know what Jerry's number
is? But it's a relative thing.
I think Jerry's number is in the...
maybe a comma or two in there?
Tens of millions.
Yes. Yes, he's adding commas, not just zeros.
Yeah, as you know, having the most lucrative franchise in all of sports being valued at over $6.2 billion, I'm sure he would write maybe a $100 million check.
I mean, is he negotiating, or is he betting, you know, you and I would bet a case of beer on a game. Is he betting his jet?
Oh, man. I mean,
what do these guys bet when they're sitting in the owner's box and they're betting? Are they betting big, or is it just a case of beer?
Jerry, come on, man. You got to stop telling people that you would do something like that. Because that's when people start talking, right, Steve? That's when people are like, well, you know, Jerry Jones is paying the referees. You know, the referee was in Jerry Jones' private bus the other day. He's paying him off. I mean, you can't say that you would write a check.
He had a 40-minute conversation on his plane on the tarmac, but we don't know what exactly they said.
Oh, man, there you go. There's a lot of other news. Just real briefly, the Jacksonville Jaguars got some horrible news this past weekend as wide receiver Marquise Lee had a severe injury to his leg and is out for the year. They're going to put him on IR. And I watched week three of the preseason, Steve. It's usually the dress rehearsal game. It's usually, hey, let's go get our starters some quality time. Let's bring them back after halftime, play a little bit into the third quarter. We can see that they're ready to play a whole full four quarters of football. And you are not seeing it. I think the Rams didn't even play a single starter.
No, and I'm fairly certain the Packers put no offensive starters, maybe a handful of defense, but
the Cowboys
this week hardly had. I mean, what, the fourth week is always the we're just checking to see who we want to keep on the roster, but the third week is usually when you get that preview.
Yeah, and I didn't get that from anybody. I think the closest team that I saw, hey, let's keep our starters out there a little bit, oddly enough, was the New England Patriots. They had Brady out there for a while. But with all the injuries and the amount of players going down in the preseason, I doubt week three of the preseason is going to be a place where we see that dress rehearsal anymore. You may not have a dress rehearsal, which means to me those 4 weeks of preseason have really become meaningless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders kept Carr out through the first quarter. On the field, he looked pretty good too, by the way. Most of these games you don't really pay attention to week one and four for sure.
Yeah, but now what? I'm not going to pay attention to two or three either.
Right. We're going to end up next week starts the whole thing. We're happy.
The crazy thing for me is for the Rams, they got some new weapons on the offensive side of the ball for Jared Goff, but we haven't seen him throw the ball to them. We haven't seen him throw the ball to Cooks. I mean, yeah, everybody's like, yeah, they look great in practice and everything, but you can't simulate game speed in a practice. You just can't. I don't care how hard you go in practice. You're never going as hard as you're going once you get on the football field and then your adrenaline kicks in and starts pumping. So, everybody's – if Goff and Cooks and the whole Rams offense comes out and they're clicking – week one against the Raiders, Monday Night Football up in Oakland, and they look great and they score 50 points. Everybody's like, see, it doesn't matter. But if they struggle and they put up 13 points on the board and lose, everybody's going to be looking at McVay saying, hey, you didn't throw your guys out there at all. So how are they supposed to practice? It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. Well, let's get to it, Steve. No rants and raves today. We'll save those for next week. So we're sticking right to the 2018 NFL season predictions. Woo-wee. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. We're going to start.
These are
going to
be some fun. These are going to be some great picks.
In the AFC, in the AFC East. Let's check it out. We'll start off with. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll do my picks first, one division, your picks first, the next division, and so on. Everybody gets them out. So we'll start off with mine in the AFC East. Oh, my God. I think Patriots fans, you need to sit down right now and just make sure that you're sitting down because, lo and behold, look who I have, number one, winning the division for the 10th straight time. That's right. You heard it correctly. The New England Patriots at 11-5, 4-2 in the division. Man, I can't believe I got that out.
You're going out on a limb on that one.
I think so. Well, you know what? I mean, you look at the quarterbacks in this division. The Bills and the Jets are most likely going to start rookies, Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. You got Ryan Tannehill down in Miami. He doesn't really strike the fear into opponents. And Tom Brady shows year in, year out, I don't care who lines up at wide receiver. I don't care that Edelman's not playing for 4 weeks because he's suspended. I don't care if your name is Joe Schmo that just came out from the 7-Eleven, you were pumping gas, and you're going to get on the field. I'm going to throw you the football. And he does it every year. Yeah, look at you.
He does. Yeah, I'm speechless because I completely. I mean, there's something in the water there. There's something in the system that it doesn't matter who they put on the field, year after year, they've proven to be good.
Yeah. So
At this point, it's a mistake to root against or to bet against the Patriots.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've you know, for years been like, yeah, they're not going to win this. This year it's going to be Miami. This year it's going to be Buffalo. This year, you know what? For the last 9 years, it's been New England. I'm not bucking the trend here. I think they win at 11-5. Now, I think the Miami Dolphins come in second at 7-9, not a winning record. Just pretty decimated there on both the offense and defensive side of the ball. Questions on both sides. I've got them 7-9, 4-2 in the division. In third, the Buffalo Bills at 6-10. I don't think that the Josh Allen rookie season will be great just by seeing a little bit of him in the preseason. And it's not him. He is not the problem. The problem is that offensive line is in shambles. I think he got sacked 6 times in the first quarter, which, dude, don't let your rookie franchise quarterback get a beating like that in the preseason. They should have yanked him out a lot earlier. But I got them at 6-10. And bringing up the rear at 2-14, only getting 2 wins, Sam Darnold's New York Football Jets. All right, let's take a look at your side of the ball.
So, I mean, mine doesn't differ terribly. Of course, I think the Patriots here, they, you know, as much turnover as they've had, as many people have come and left, as we've said, I think they're easy to walk away with this thing. I've got them in as 12-4. It's a game less than they had last year. You know, I think we're both on the same page there.
Yep.
Coming in second, I've got the Bills. You know, they were 9-7 last year. I mean, really, I have the rest of the AFC East with a miserable win-loss
record. I see that. Everyone else
I've got both the Bills and the Dolphins. I've got it 5-11. I've got the Bills winning second only because they've got a 3-3 divisional record. Dolphins at 2-4. I see young talent on some of these teams, but we never see them step up. So I think the rest of the AFC East is kind of a joke. I've got the Jets coming in last at 4-12. I actually have them doing a little bit better than you have.
Yeah.
We both have them 1-5 in the division. So I think it's the Patriots running away with it, and we're not seeing a wild card out of the East.
So is this kind of a situation where, like, you remember the Atlanta Braves won their division 13 straight years in Major League Baseball? Was it because the Atlanta Braves were that great, or because everybody else in their division was awful? I mean,
you can't deny the Patriots are good.
No. I'm giving them their credit.
But nobody else is stepping up to play against them.
That's my point. It's just that, I mean,
you're giving the rest of the East more credit than I am.
I am a lot more credit than you are. But
I mean, you've got about 2 more wins on the 3 teams than I do. But we're kind of on the same page that the rest of the East is they're not stepping up to challenge the Patriots.
It's just not good at all, and I don't see it. Like you said, young talent there, and it looks pretty good. I like Kenyon Drake, the running back of the Miami Dolphins. I just don't see them challenging the New England Patriots. All right, let's move on to the AFC North. You take it away, Steve. You go first this time.
All right, so I've got the Steelers repeating here. I've got them in as 11-5. They're off a little bit this year. I think it's kind of the same situation we have in the East. There's really nobody stepping up to challenge them. As soon as we can get Bell on the field, who knows when that'll happen. But rumors are Friday. You know, who knows what's going to happen there. I think it'll be hard for them to match last year's record, but I think they're in a position to run away with the North and kind of get into the playoffs again. Coming in second, I've got the Ravens kind of in the same ballpark they were last year, coming in at 8-8. I didn't see them really improve that much over last year's team. They've got last year's 9-7 record was a bit misleading in the fact that they were 0-5 against playoff teams. So I think they were kind of playing the bottom dwellers in a lot of places. So 8-8 I think would end up good. Next, I've got the Browns. This one is tough for me. It's kind of like if you're in the ninth inning with a pitcher who's just walked 2 players in a row, two batters in front of you. Do you swing at a pitch until you see a strike come over the plate? So there's so much of me that wants to put the Browns at another 0-16 season, maybe a 1-15. I think we're seeing some good young talent there. I think we've got some people that came in. I think they're going to pull an 11-5, or I'm sorry, not an 11-5, a 5-11 okay. season. Had those backwards. Only 2-4 in the division. Bengals, I think, fall off. We're at 4-12, 1-5 in the division. So,
yeah. So you've got the Bengals a lot worse than they were last year. They finished last year at 7-9.
7-9. Yep. Yeah.
So I have the exact same order as you do. Pittsburgh winning the division, also at 11-5. But my surprise team, I think, is the Baltimore Ravens. I've actually got them sneaking into the playoffs. They're my sixth seed in the playoffs in the AFC at 10-6, 4-2 in the division, actually better in the division than the Steelers. Then I've got the Cleveland Browns at 7-9. And I don't want to say that it's the Hard Knocks love, okay? Certainly Hard Knocks has made me like this team a little bit. I just think that defense and what I've seen them do, especially this past week against the Philadelphia Eagles and Nick Foles, they balled out. And simply because of that defensive front, the Cleveland Browns are going to be in a lot of football games. So I've got them at 7-9, just narrowly missing the playoffs, but doing a lot better than their 0-16 campaign last year. And then bringing up the rear, the Cincinnati Bengals, it's just not a lot to like there. On the defensive side of the ball, they still got a couple stud players, but it's not enough. Very glaring holes, especially in the secondary. And then offensively, outside of A.J. Green, not a lot of stuff that strikes fear in me. I still don't believe 100% in Andy Dalton. So I think it's what it is. So I got Pittsburgh and Baltimore going into the playoffs from here, and the rest pretty much like you do. Moving on, we'll take a look at the AFC South. Now I'll go first here, and I'm actually a little nervous about what I've got going on here in the AFC South.
Given recent news, yeah.
You know, I got the Jacksonville Jaguars at 11-5 winning the division. That's one more win than last year. And I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about it. Now with the departure of Marquise Lee, they're going to need some help. They might be the team that now opens the door for Dez Bryant, and he finds himself a home there. I got the Houston Texans just missing the playoffs at 10-6, 4-2 in the division. They're the seventh seed in the AFC, 10-6. Is not going to be enough to get you into the playoffs in the AFC. That's pretty crazy. The Tennessee Titans will be third at 6-10. I also have the Indianapolis Colts at 6-10, but they come in last because of their division record of 2-4, while Tennessee's at 3-3.
Yeah, so can't disagree with your assessment there. I got Jacksonville at 12-4. A little bit stronger than last year at 10-6. If I were reassessing these picks today, given some of the news we heard, I might come down a game or two on their win loss, but I still think it's their division to take. I also have Texans coming in second at 10-6. Are we going to see defenses react to him and make it a little bit rougher on him? We got the defense. Some of these studs are coming back, so maybe that defense keeps them in more games. But you know, clearly an improvement over their 4-12 effort last year.
Right.
Titans. I have coming in at a 9-7. This is a team. Who knows how they're going to do? I mean, they could be 5-11. They could be 11-5. So I've got them at 9-7. I don't think that Mariota is going to hold up on that one. For the season, maybe I'm wrong. I kind of hope I'm wrong. I kind of like that team a little bit. And then I got the Colts, bottom dwellers at 5-11. I just there's not much here. Andrew Luck is clearly talented, but he's not going to be able to carry this team.
I just don't understand why they don't freaking get him an offensive line that's going to help him out so he's not running around for his life every time.
Yeah, I mean, he'll pull a couple of games out, but without anybody to throw out, without a line, it's just not enough to keep him upright. So,
All right, so another division where we've pretty much got the identical order. Let's finish out.
We differ a little here in the West, though.
Yep. The AFC West, and you take it away.
So I don't think the West is that strong this year. I've got the Chargers taking the division at 10-6, 4-2 in the division. They've got talent. How much of it? I think this really is a function of the rest of the division is kind of falling off, letting them take some wins that they might not normally take. So I've got the Chargers taking it at 10-6. I have the Raiders coming in at 8-8. I'm probably going to be wrong on this one. They'll probably do better based on what I've seen. It's just whether or not they can keep their talent on the field or whether some of these guys get injured and they fall off.
Doesn't Gruden make you a little nervous, though, him coming out and saying, I'm not going to do analytics. I'm not going to be a numbers guy. I'm going to be old school. It's going to be old school football. And I'm just not sure if he understands that the analytics can help you.
Teams are doing that because it means something. They find results doing it. I guess the only positive here I could see is that if the analytics aren't responding to an old school coaching style, play calling, everything else, maybe they sneak out a couple of wins here. Maybe they are 10-6. But I don't see it. I don't see Gruden making that much of an impact on a team that's 1 foot out the door in Oakland. Well, a foot and a half out the door.
Yeah.
I think Las Vegas doesn't sound quite like Oakland.
No.
Coming in third, I got Kansas City 7-9. I think they're going to fall off from where they were last year. I see them. They picked up some talent in the offseason. They lost some talent. I think it was a net loss overall. I just don't see them matching their 10-6 off of last year when we've got the Chargers improving a bit. So I've got them in third, and then I've got the Broncos this. I don't see Keenum bringing the consistency that he needs to that team to have him do much more than the 6-10 I've got him at.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I do have the Broncos as well down at the bottom. I'll start with I've actually got the Oakland Raiders winning the division at 10-6, and I've got San Diego also at 10-6 as the wild card team. Both of them, I think, will be in the playoffs. I really like what I've seen from the San Diego Chargers. Melvin Gordon has definitely come into his own, and he is taking a lot of pressure off of Phillip Rivers. Plus, I think they finally got an offensive line that's going to help Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon both. And on the defensive side of the ball, that Chargers defense has been no joke. They're going to keep them in a lot of games. It's going to be very interesting to see how San Diego responds this year, their second year here in Los Angeles. Now the Los Angeles Chargers. Did I say the San Diego Chargers? If I did, man, I'm bad. But the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's all right. Apparently you and everyone else in L.A., because I just saw today they finally sold out all their season tickets today.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then I've got the Kansas City Chiefs at 9-7. I got a couple more wins with them than you've got. I like what the Chiefs are going to do and going to look like offensively. I'm just not sure how their defense is going to respond in this division. They're going to be facing a lot of speedy receivers on the corners, and I'm not sure how outside of Patrick Peterson I just saw Patrick Peterson like decimate the Dallas Cowboys. That's why he's fresh on my mind. But they're how they're going to respond in the secondary for the Kansas City Chiefs, and then I've got the Denver Broncos at 7-9, and people are saying, well, really, they're going to bring up the rear. And it really, to me, it goes down to a quarterback play. If you look, Derek Carr, we've said I think he's back from his injury. Phillip Rivers has always been very consistent, top five quarterback in passing yards almost for the last 5 years. And you have Patrick Mahomes, who's young, but he's got a cannon of an arm, and he's really sure of himself. And then you got Case Keenum, who I just think, look, the Minnesota Vikings went to the playoffs last year, and they made some noise in the playoffs. But they weren't willing to keep him. That tells me something about what they thought of him as a quarterback. I'm not sure that he's going to really do all that well with the Denver Broncos, specifically because, Case Keenum, they had a a solid running game with Dalvin Cook in Minnesota. I don't know the Denver Broncos are running the football as well as they used to. They're going to have to rely on a rookie, Royce Freeman, along with Devontae Booker. They just don't scare anybody running the ball. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Case Keenum to throw the football. Just don't think they'll be able to get it done. So I'm going to recap what I've got here. I've got the Jaguars at the number one seed, followed by the Steelers with the number two seed, New England with the number three seed, and the Raiders, the number four seed. Those are your four division winners. And then I've got San Diego 5 and the Baltimore Ravens at 6. Those are my two wild cards. You want to recap yours?
Yeah, my playoff side, I got the Jags and the one seed, Patriots at the 2. I've got Steelers 3, Chargers 4, with the Texans and Titans at 5 and 6 in the wild card. So,
wow, you've got two teams coming out of the AFC South as the wild cards. That's pretty impressive. That is pretty impressive.
There's nobody. I don't have anybody else up there though.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway,
but 9-7. You know, you got Tennessee sneaking in at 9-7, and I've got a 10-6 team over here that can't even get into the playoffs.
Yeah,
with the Houston Texans. So, all right, that's good. Let's move over to the NFC East. All right, is it my turn? Maybe you should go first.
All right, I'm going to lead here. So I have the Eagles repeating it at taking the division at a 13-3 record.
It was pointed out to me that on our first show, we did not say, and I have to tell you that we have to do this at least for a week or two, the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. I didn't say that last week. I said it in the intro of this week's show. I puked a little bit in my mouth when I did it, okay? There was some regurgitation.
When I agreed to do this show, at no point did I agree to call the Eagles the defending Super Bowl champions.
That's right. You did. There was no agreement. I did not make you. So you don't have to do that. I'm just pointing it out.
It is a technical fact that they are the – yes. We will go with it is a technical fact that the Eagles are defending Super Bowl champions – for now.
But that's it. Well, that's all. We're doing them a great service. We have said it for, a good couple of minutes here on the show. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. And then that's it. Because hold on, I need to drink water. Hold on. Say something while I drink water.
I keep forgetting we've got podcasts here, so you can't see facial expressions when you guys are listening to this. I'm learning. I will get there. I will learn that this isn't TV.
It's not TV. All right, so you got the Philadelphia Eagles repeating in the NFC East. Seriously, man?
Yeah,
Do you know who your co-host is?
I do.
How many wins you get?
Look, I got the Cowboys doing better than they did last year.
How many wins?
Not much, but I got them coming in second at a 10-6. They're doing a game better than they did last year.
Oh, man.
I don't see the Eagles having lost anything material to have them take a step back.
What? Go ahead.
So
keep going.
We go with them. Look, check again in 15 weeks and we'll have a better idea. As I said, coming in second, I got your Cowboys, 10-6. I think you've got all the talent there. I could be wrong on these. On these two teams, I think they're very evenly matched. I think the Cowboys can definitely give the Eagles a run in the East. My records probably show a little bit more disparity than I really feel on their performance. Can the defense keep up their end on for the Cowboys? Is Dak going to keep performing as well as he has? I think Elliott, we're fine on the running back, so I don't think the Cowboys have anything to worry about. Pull out a couple of games and you correct my alleged mistake here on your Cowboys.
Right. All right. Well, they got
your Cowboys
pieces on the defensive side of the ball. I'm just not sold. I don't think their defense is going to be as good as it was last year, and I think offensively, whether people want to believe it or not, there is a lot of questions at the quarterback position whether Carson Wentz ready for week one or not. One, if he is ready, the dude got hurt pretty bad last year and there's going to be some rust. And if not, and he's not ready, and they go with Nick Foles, Nick Foles, yes, won them a Super Bowl, and that's great. But Nick Foles has been looking more like the Nick Foles of old before. Nick Foles was on his way of becoming a journeyman quarterback until he stepped in for Carson Wentz and took him to the Super Bowl. So I think there's a lot more questions than Eagles fans want to admit there for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't have them winning the division, and I know I'm going to hear a lot of boos right now, but I have the Cowboys just like you at 10-6, and I think 10-6 is going to be good enough to win the NFC East this year. There's no way the Eagles repeat a 13-win season like they had a year ago. I don't see that. I know they were 13-3 last year. That's not going to happen. Dallas Cowboys.
I think in the head-to-head matchup, I got the Cowboys and Eagles splitting their games.
Yeah,
winning their home games.
I got the Cowboys.
But it's the rest of the East that I don't see stepping up to challenge them again.
Yeah, so I've got Dallas.
If the Giants and Redskins were a better team, I could see the Eagles falling off.
Yeah, well, I think the Giants, there's a lot of questions there on the defensive side of the ball. Like I said, I am really impressed with Saquon Barkley, the rookie running back. But the Redskins are right. They're going to be bottom dwellers again. I got the Redskins at 3-13. I got the Giants as the same record. Actually, I got one more win than last year. I got them at 4-12. Last year they were 3-13. And then I got the Eagles at 9-7. Now, the Eagles could very easily win double-digit games, but I'm looking at the two Super Bowl teams from last year. Every year there is one team that just doesn't quite have it the following year. It's usually the team that loses. They fall off. I don't think the Patriots fall off. I think it's the Eagles that fall off. They are going to find out real quick that it is a lot easier to get to that Super Bowl and now win it than it is to maintaining up there and staying up there and continue to play. Because now you're the team, and as we just mentioned, for all the Eagles fans listening, the defending Super Bowl champions, and every team that comes into your house this whole season knows that. And you know what? They want to sock it to you. They're going to take it to you, and you're going to get everybody's A game. That's what the Eagles are going to face this season. They're going to find out it's a lot tougher. They're not going to be able to sneak up on anybody like they did last year, and they're going to struggle to win.
All right. I don't disagree with any of that, but we've got week two at Tampa Bay, week three, the Colts, week four at Tennessee. They start off against the Falcons. Week five, they've got the Vikings in. Then they're in the Giants, Panthers. Tough one against Jaguars before they hit their bye. So they don't have a difficult schedule to get back to that 13-3.
It doesn't start difficult, but once they get to the backside of their bye, they better start bringing it. I think it's
– Yeah, the back end of it is going to be a lot harder.
Plus, you know what? We're going to find out a lot in a week, in 2 days. Thursday Night Football, they host the Atlanta Falcons. The season kicks off on September 6th, a couple days before my birthday. I'm going to fly out to Vegas. Trish and I are going to have a great time, have a birthday weekend. And if the Falcons beat the Eagles after week one, there is going to be a ton of questions about what's going on in Philly.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
So it's going to be
We will see what they put out on the field in a very, very short amount of time here.
All right, we're going to move on the NFC North. I'll take
however,
it away.
I do believe you have it labeled here as the NFC South.
Do I? How in the world do that?
I know the Packers and Vikings are in the North, even if you don't.
Hey, man, so you're going to tell the whole world this is a page that only you and I can see. Nobody else in the whole world can see this page. You and I worked
look,
my
if you,
butt
if
off.
You had done,
you're going to throw me under the bus like
that. If you
like
had done any other division, I wouldn't be giving you a hard time. But it's my division. Come on.
Maybe. All
right, let me get it. It's your turn to go first.
Maybe.
You show us what you're going to do.
Just maybe I did this on purpose just for you. All right, in the NFC North, I've got the Green Bay Packers coming back to the top of this division. Aaron Rodgers stays healthy all year. He's got a nice new security blanket named Jimmy Graham. I think the running back addition of Jamal Williams is going to be pretty good. I like them offensively and defensively. 11-5 to win the division. I got the Minnesota Vikings coming at second at 10-6, just narrowly missing the playoffs. 4-2 within the division. Coming up in third place is the Detroit Lions at 6-10, 2-4 within the division. And bringing up the rear, I'm going to hear it from the Chicago faithful, the Chicago Bears at 3-13. It's Trubisky time. I get it. I get it. I'm just not sold. I think the Bears are still looking to play catch-up in that division, and it's going to be pretty bad for them this season, 1-5 within the division. What do you got?
So I very much like your rankings better than my own, just playing the homer of the Packers.
Is that because you don't have the Packers winning the division?
That is correct. I have the Vikings repeating at 13-3. What I run into is they didn't have holes to fill. They didn't have a lot of areas of concern that they needed to fill, yet they brought in Cousins. He was the only reason Washington had 7 wins last year.
Do you think Cousins is an upgrade?
I don't know if he's an upgrade, but I don't think Cousins loses games.
Okay. He lost a couple games for the Redskins against the Cowboys last year, I'll tell you that much. Throwing picks in the red zone.
I mean they in the aggregate, it wasn't, I mean they had a rough record, but what would the Redskins have done without Cousins last year?
Yeah, it would have been a lot worse.
They would not have pulled out 7 wins.
Yeah, they won 7 games.
So I think they're the team to beat. I hope for my fandom that you're right, and they take a couple steps back, but I think right now, until we see some fall off in the production, I don't have a justification to take them off that pedestal. I got the Packers coming in at 11-5. It's the same record you've got them in. We both have them 5-1 in the division. Aaron, if he pulls a full year, he's a pretty reliable quarterback for that. He's only spent some minimal time out in the last couple of years. I still question, we've got a new defensive coordinator in the Packers. Coaching ranks could be good. We might end up missing Dom Capers. I got family who is going to be really upset with me saying that Capers is somebody we might miss, but that easy, predictable, consistent defense that he put out there, we didn't like it when he was there because it was too easy for teams to game plan against our defense.
But it worked.
But are we going to miss it? Yeah, they won more often than they lost. Yeah. They've had one of the best teams in the NFL in the last, 15, 20 years. So did we get an upgrade? Is it really that much of an upgrade on the defense? Time will tell.
We'll see.
I hope it is.
You like the Bears a little more than I do.
I do like the Bears a little bit more. I mean, I've only got them at 5-11, so they're only winning 2 more games. We both have them at 1-5 in the division, so there's not a lot of hope for them. Talk to us again in 2 years, and I think you might have some talent there.
That's where I'm at.
I think they're building the foundation to put a team. But we had one of our guys in the draft talk about in our fantasy draft on Saturday talk about the Bears have been rebuilding since '86. Then I've got the Lions coming in at 4-12 to bring in the bottom of the division. The Lions have just been this team that they've 2 consecutive 9-7. They've got talent. You think they're going to do well? I mean, Stafford's a pretty decent quarterback. I'm not knocking him on talent or anything.
You're not liking.
They either need to make a jump up or they need to fall off.
You're not liking the addition of Matt Patricia at all. Then. I mean,
no.
You know, even with his Bill Belichick pedigree and stuff.
How many of Belichick's guys have been that good?
True.
A couple, don't get me wrong. But it seems unlike some of the other coaching trees, were like Holmgren's coaching tree, where how many of these guys have come out and done really well for themselves? How many of Bill's guys have come out and done well outside of the Patriots program?
Right. Well,
Saying that he couldn't be good, but I don't see the Lions. The Lions have got to go one way or another. They've been average the last 2 years. Yep. They've got to get better. They've got to drop off. I think they're going to drop off.
I think they're. I mean, you've got them 2 games worse than I got them. I think 6-10 is, I think, where I see them. I think it's going to take Matt Patricia a couple years to kind of get the whole head coaching thing under his belt. I think the defense is going to be better. I'm just not sure. He's very offensive-minded. It's,
and that's really what we've been seeing with new coaches coming in. You're pairing a young quarterback with a young coach with an offensive mindset, and here we've got a defensive coach coming in.
Yeah, that's true. So there you go. We'll go to the NFC North. Take it away, Steve.
All right, my turn here. So I've got the Falcons here running in at taking the division at 11-5. I think they take a step forward. Really, at the end of the day, I've got the Falcons at 11-5, the Saints at 8-8. I mean, it's a coin flip between these two teams. I think I've got the Falcons winning a few of the games against the Saints that put 6-0 in the division, which is probably a pretty high benchmark for them to hit. Saints only going 3-3. These two teams could easily be flipped in 17 weeks when we talk about it again. So I think both have good, strong, balanced teams. When they're playing at home, they're tough to beat. As a Packers fan, I should know that. Do the Saints have enough to really take on the Falcons, in my opinion? I know you differ on that, but that's kind of where I sit there. The Panthers I've got coming in third at 5-11. Cam Newton is a passionate player. If you handle him properly, he could be really good for you. He could fall off pretty quickly. So I don't know that bringing in Norv Turner on the offensive coordinator, if that's going to be a step up in the short run. Maybe they find a way to coexist and things are fine, but I see him falling off a bit to 5-11. And I've got the Bucs coming in at 4-12, a game off of where they were last year. I think there are just too many questions there. I just don't see them doing better than 4-12. I got them 1-5 in the division.
All right. I've got the Saints and the Falcons flip-flopped. I got New Orleans at 11-5. I think this is Drew Brees' last hurrah, his final. Come on, I got to get out of here. I got to get me a deep playoff push one more time before I have to call it a career. The Atlanta Falcons I've got at 10-6. Got both of these teams making the playoffs. But you're right. I agree with you. They could be flip-flop. I also see the Carolina Panthers taking a step back. They were 11-5 last year. This year I've got them at 6-10. There's something going on right now with the Carolina Panthers. As much as I like Ron Rivera, they just don't seem to be all on the same page. Offensively and defensively, the defense could be pretty special, but sometimes they could be pretty mediocre. I like what I've seen from Ed McCaffrey so far this offseason, and he doesn't have a Jonathan Stewart breathing down his neck anymore. He is the guy. And if he can run consistently the way he's been running this preseason, maybe it's different news for the Carolina Panthers, because as you said, Norv Turner, he loves to run the football. He's a run him first, pass second. And Cam may not like that so much. So, and Cam, by the way, if you're
unless he's the one doing the running.
Don't jump and land on your head for a preseason game, buddy. My goodness, it's a freaking preseason. You don't have to kill yourself to get a first down in the preseason. But anyways.
They don't mean anything.
And finally, so I got them at 6-10. And then I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers also at 6-10. Just last in the division. Look, it's going to be tough. They're going to be without Jameis Winston for the first four games of the season. Now, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to be serviceable for those four games, but can they win three or four of them? I don't think so. Then Jameis comes back. He's going to have a little bit of rust for having to sit out that long. Couple rookie running backs running the football for them. And I just don't see enough from Tampa Bay for them to take the next step. As much as I'd like to, and as much as I'd like to cheer for them, I just don't see it. So let's finish up with the NFC West, where another division where you and I finally differ. I'll start off. We agree on who's going to win the division. I've got the Rams as my number one seed at 11-5, 5-1 within the division. I think the Rams are going to be humming after week two or three. I think it's going to take them a while to kind of mesh on the football field. I mean, you just can't You just can't turn it on. You just can't flip a switch and be like, hey, game on, let's go, let's go. You have to work together in a game environment for there to be some good, solid building from the team offensive unit. So I think they'll struggle early on, but once they pick it up, they're going to pick it up quickly. And I've got them at 11-5, 5-1 in the division. Second place in the division, also making the playoffs as a wild card. I've got the Seattle Seahawks. I've got them at 10-6, 4-2 within the division. I've got the Arizona Cardinals coming in third at 7-9, 2-4 within the division. Yes, even though I saw the shellacking they gave the Dallas Cowboys in the third preseason game, y'all remember those were starters going against Cowboys scrubs. So take that with a grain of salt. And then finally bringing up the rear, the San Francisco 49ers. It's Jimmy Garoppolo time. Garoppolo. I like the San Francisco 49ers. I really do. I know a lot of people are saying, Steven, you don't want to like the San Francisco 49ers. You hate them. I really don't. I want to like them. But they're young. I think in a couple years this is going to be an exciting team to watch, and they're going to be a lot of fun to watch grow into that. But they're going to have some hard knocks, and 5-11 is where I've got them, 1-5 within the division.
All right. So I've got, as you said, we both agree on the Rams taking the division. I've got them off at 12-4. Agree, their first couple games are going to be rough. They start off at Raiders. Then they go up against the Cardinals, Chargers, and Vikings all at home. Those will all be tough games. Winnable for sure, but tough games for them.
I'm going to feel really bad for McVay and the Rams if they start out 0-4, 1-3.
Yeah. Then we start differing. I got the Cardinals coming in second at 9-7. They're working on their defense. Maybe they can put some talent there that'll get them through a couple of wins.
It's Sam.
I think Sam Bradford. Sam is, I don't know, if he stays healthy, they can keep him upright. He's going to win them some games. Do you build your franchise long term around the guy? But they've got enough weapons. I think in a challenging division, I think they're going to pull out. I mean, I only have them 2-4 in the division, so now that I make that comment, maybe not. But having them coming in second, I've got the Niners coming in 8-8 in third place. They've got a really tough schedule. I don't know that Jimmy is going to be. I think his 5-game winning streak ends week one at the Vikings. So I don't know that teams are going to catch up to him. They're going to start playing him a little differently than they had.
Plus,
so
they got more
I don't
tape
think
on.
They're going to. Yeah. So they're going to improve a bit off of what they did last year at 6-10. But they had that strong finish. So they're going to come in at 8-8. And I just the Seahawks are I've got them at 6-10. I've got them past their prime. The Legion of Boom is gone. Look, I love Wilson. Love his attitude. I love his play. I don't know that there's much around him, and I don't know that he can win games on his own. So I've got them come in at 6-10,
all right,
bringing up the trailing team in the NFC West.
Highest fantasy scoring quarterback in the league last year, Russell Wilson, by the way.
I'm not saying he can't put up points, but is it going to be enough to win? I mean, look, I had that problem with the Packers for how many years?
Right.
Rodgers can put up points, but if the defense can't stop the opponents, what's the point of him putting up points?
All right.
So
there you go. I've got the Rams with the number one seed out of the West, the Packers with the 2 seed, then have the New Orleans Saints with the 3 seed and the Cowboys with the 4 seed and the Seattle Seahawks and Atlanta Falcons as my wild card teams. What do you got?
These playoff brackets are going to be fun to assess because I've got the Eagles as 1, Vikings coming in at 2, Rams at 3, Falcons on 4, and then Packers coming in on the wild card in 5, and the Saints with their, what did I pick them at, 8-8, pulling in a wild card at 8-8. It's going to be a really amazing wild card run there.
Is that what you got? The Saints, yeah, man, I messed up with some numbers there. I got to look at your bracket real quick. Is it the Saints or the Cardinals? I might have messed up some of your numbers there. I apologize. Yeah, it's the Saints. It's the Saints.
Oh, yeah. We got. Yeah,
it's the Saints. I messed up with your numbers there. So you've got the Saints coming in with the sixth seed. All right. That's it. That's all the games, 256. Let's get to quickly go through the playoffs because we are almost, believe it or not, at an hour. I'm just going to take you through what I got on Wild Card Weekend. I got the Raiders hosting the Chargers, the Patriots hosting the Ravens, Dallas hosting Seattle Seahawks, and the Saints hosting the Atlanta Falcons. I've got Dallas and Atlanta moving on in the NFC. And believe it or not, I've got the Raiders beating the Chargers and Baltimore, the sixth seed, taking out the defending AFC champ New England Patriots, because the Ravens always find a way to go into New England and play them tough. And this time they actually sneak a win and get out of Foxborough with a win, knocking the Patriots out of the playoffs.
That love for the Patriots lasted 45 minutes?
Hey, I got them winning their division, man. What else do you want me to do?
Yeah. You're winning the division and not much more.
All right.
That's all right. I'm not heartbroken over that pick. I'm just pointing out that love we showed earlier is
thank
gone.
You for pointing it out. I appreciate it. All right. Give me your wild card weekend.
All right. On the AFC side, I've got the Steelers hosting the Titans. Have the Steelers pulling that one out. I've got the Chargers hosting the Texans. Seem to have my home teams winning and the Chargers winning that game.
Okay.
Then we get into the NFC. I've got the Rams hosting the Saints. I am holding true to the home team winning there. I think the Rams are definitely a much stronger team. Take out the Saints there. Then I have my Green Bay Packers going into their favorite stadium and playing at the Falcons. They've had a lot of history there. I've got them pulling out a win this year and beating the Falcons in wild card, going on to the divisional playoff.
All right, there you go. Moving on to the divisional round, we get the 1 and 2 seeds in. So my one seed in the AFC, the Jaguars, they get the 6th-seeded Ravens. Meanwhile, the number 2-seeded Pittsburgh Steelers get to host the Oakland Raiders. I've got Pittsburgh and Jacksonville, the number 1 and the number 2 seeds, going at it and winning in the AFC. In the NFC, I got the Rams hosting the Atlanta Falcons, and I've got the Dallas Cowboys heading to the 2-seed, which is your Green Bay Packers team. Now,
that would be a wonderful game for us to sit down and talk a lot of trash.
Yeah, kind of like you. I took the home teams except for one game, where I've got Dallas going into Green Bay, and this time with the new catch rules as they have been written.
Catching the ball?
Terrence Williams actually catches the football and bobbles it, but he crosses the line. It's a touchdown this time, and the Cowboys beat the Packers at Lambeau.
I would have a hard time having it happen at Lambeau, but we'll see.
All right, and then I've got
thankfully, I don't have our teams meeting up anywhere. So
yeah, I know. I've got the Rams going and hosting the Atlanta Falcons and beating them easily. Redemption for last year when Atlanta came here and beat the Rams. The Rams will avenge that loss, and go into the NFC Championship game against the Dallas Cowboys. What's your divisional round like?
So on my AFC side, I've got the Jaguars, the 1-seed Jaguars taking out our 4-seed Chargers, and I've got the 2-seed Patriots against the Steelers, and the Patriots, unfortunately, I've got winning that game to
rematch
the championship.
You've got a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. I like it.
On the NFC side, I've got the number 1 Eagles taking on my Green Bay Packers. And, of course, we're going to go straight-up fandom here. Of course, the Packers are going to walk into Philadelphia and win that game. And then I've got the 2-seed Vikings, 3-seed Rams, with the Rams pulling that off in Minnesota.
All right. Hey, I wouldn't have a problem with the Packers beating the Eagles. I just don't think the Eagles are going to be the number one seed with 13-3 record. But that's all right. That's for another day, Steve. That's for another day.
That's for 17 weeks from now.
So you've got the Packers at the Rams and a rematch of last year's AFC game, except this time the Patriots have to go down to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. So I'm looking right now at our AFC and NFC championship games. We each have one team in each respective game. We both have the Jaguars in the AFC championship game, and we both have the Rams in the NFC championship game. Just different opponents. So why don't you go and let us know.
And you know neither of those teams will be there in the end, right?
So you tell us who is going to win your championship games. Who's going to represent the AFC? Who's going to represent the NFC?
So I see some of the wind being knocked out of the Patriots' sails here. You have them going out sooner, but I have the Jaguars pulling the AFC championship game, headed to the Super Bowl. And then I can't stop my fandom. So I do have the Packers coming out to L.A. and beating the Rams in the NFC Championship game.
And, dude, we are going to be at that game, just so you know.
We will.
If it happens, yes. We are at that game. All right.
We are definitely at that game.
So in the AFC, I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. But unlike you, I've actually got Pittsburgh heading back to the Super Bowl, beating the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, to travel to Super Bowl 53. On the NFC side of the ball, I got a game that if it happens, we're still going to be at that game too.
Yeah, we're definitely going to that one too.
Dallas coming out to Los Angeles to play the Los Angeles Rams. Rams looking really good. And what basically I have created in my scenario, Steve, is a bunch of 1970s football. Rams, Cowboys, Steelers, all from the 70s, all hating each other, all playing each other in the Super Bowl. I've got the Cowboys taking the NFC, taking it to the Rams, stopping Gurley, forcing Jared Goff to beat them, and he just can't do it.
That would be a beautiful game.
So I've got a rematch of the 70s matchups between the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers in Super Bowl 53. You've got an old team versus a new team, the Green Bay Packers and the Jacksonville Jaguars in Super Bowl 53. Are we just going to finish it all out with, you know, with our teams?
I revealed my team at the beginning.
You did.
So at this point, at this point, I have the Packers winning 3 road games to get to the Super Bowl. You think I'm going to have them lose to the Jaguars at that point?
So you're pulling the thing that the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants did recently, sneak into the playoffs with the 6th seed and win 3 road games to get to the Super Bowl and then win the Super Bowl.
Of course.
All right.
It's completely plausible.
Well, I've got
Vikings, Rams, Falcons. There are a lot of good teams there. So is it really going to happen?
Falcons, Eagles. Yeah, if your scenario works out, they would have to go to Atlanta, to Philadelphia, and to L.A. Man, that would be tough. But hey,
those are not very friendly stadiums.
You could. That's true.
You didn't ask me to put any money on it. You didn't ask me to I don't give a child if I get this wrong or something like that. I got plenty to spare. So, I really want to see this happen. The reality of it, we'll see.
Your kids aren't listening to the show, right? So I could say of your children is my favorite.
That would be a dangerous statement next time you will face that.
Yeah, that's true. Never mind. I'm not.
You can talk about which one's cutest. Which one's the best boy? Because there's only one of those. So.
All your children are great, man. I love them all. All right. And you know what? Just like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cowboys matches of old, it's a battle. It's a slugfest. It's high scoring. But in the end, the Dallas Cowboys will beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and tie up their Super Bowl appearances. Right now, Pittsburgh has the lead 2-1. But Dallas will tie it up, get the win, 2-2 in the Super Bowls against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That would be great. Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, Lynn Swann, all those guys coming out to the Super Bowl to be right there. It would be fantastic. Super Bowl 53 in Atlanta. One big party.
Really looking forward to the season.
All right, man. There you go. I am so excited that we are back. Oh, we have gone way past an hour 10 right now. Thank you for sticking with us and staying with us through this craziness. I know it's been a lot of fun putting this together. I will tweet out the link to our picks so that you can see them and analyze them. And even shoot us some questions if you think maybe we're wrong with a team or two. Of course, if it's your team, we're probably wrong with it. Unless it's, you know, the Cowboys or the Green Bay Packers. Remember, all the fantasy football leagues are filled up. Drafts are taking place right now. Steve and I, we had a draft this past weekend together. That was kind of fun. But if you missed out on fantasy football, don't worry. You can still put your weekly picks up against Steve and myself. And Steve's two-year-old daughter, Edith, in our pick 'em pool. So go up and sign your pick 'em pool. You can put your picks up against ours. And I am so excited at how Edith is going to make her picks.
You have no idea how worried I am she's going to do better than I am.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. All right. Also, don't forget our Survivor Pool, NFL Survivor Pool. Pick one winner every week. Your team wins, you go on. They lose, you go home, and you're out. That's it. Go to the website, NFLRNR.com. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We throw posts up there all the time so you all can enjoy and continue to follow us along. So for NFL Rants and Raves, I'm Steven Miranda.
And I'm Steve Fry.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Thanks and good night.